I'm very happy now to welcome Marcia Keegan. She is an award-winning photographer. She was given a Lifetime Achievement Award from the 8 Northern Pueblos and received the 2010 Governor's Award for Outstanding New Mexican Women. She's the author of many books. Her new book is actually the 40th anniversary edition of the book Taos Pueblo and Its Sacred Blue Lake, and she will be having an exhibit of her work, both from this book and from many others, a very large body of work, at the Silver Sun Gallery on Canyon Road here in Santa Fe. The opening is tomorrow, August 20th, from 5 to 8 in the afternoon. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
So this is a wonderful book. It's one of the few books that you've done in black and white. And you started it, well, you did it, the first edition, 40 years ago to celebrate the victory after a very long battle to reclaim the sacred blue lake in Taos and the land around it.
Yes. And when I think about it, I'm amazed that I was able to, 40 years ago, explain to a publisher in New York, Simon & Schuster, who the Indians were, where Taos was, why it was an important event, and historically why I should do a book. And
it was a different era.
It was completely. And I was talking, I was educating these editors and these people that had never been out of New York.
Exactly.
When I look back on it, it was amazing that I was able to explain. And then when I did go there and for the celebration and photograph, it was a momentous occasion for me as well, of course, everyone. It was just something that I always will remember. It was, everyone was crying, dancing, laughing. I just was thrilled that I was a part of it. And then, so that book was published in 1971 by Simon & Schuster, and then Clearlight, my publishing company here in Santa Fe, did a 20th anniversary. And then that was in 1991. And then they called me, and at first I thought they said it's a 50th anniversary, and I was really feeling old. Then luckily they said it was the 40th anniversary. And so this book is better than the other two books because it has a lot of new information, and I'm really thrilled about the book. It's really a lot of information with quotes from people at the Pueblo, including the governor and the war chief. And it's really their book. And in fact, they gave me the seal, and I'm having on the cover of the book for the 40th anniversary.
The Pueblo seal?
Yes.
Nice.
And royalties are going back to the Pueblo.
So let's talk for a moment about the Sacred Blue Lake. What was the whole story? When did Taos Pueblo lose that land in the first place?
Teddy Roosevelt, and he, when he was president, he made this a national park. And so for 65 years, the elders went to Washington and tried to get the Blue Lake back.
Now, this was a sacred lake that was used for ceremonial purposes.
Yes, and it still is.
Yeah.
And they go on pilgrimages there. They put prayer sticks down. It is absolutely a sacred place, plus the land around it. And so it was, for 65 years, they kept going to Washington, and the government kept wanting to give them money for it, and they said, no amount of money. So it was a turning point in 1971 when Nixon finally signed the bill. It was a turning point for not only for Taos Pueblo, but for a lot of tribes getting their land back.
And that was, I mean, an interesting time because Indians were starting to get, and not only, as you say, not only Taos Pueblo, get some land back. The civil rights movements, the various civil rights movements were going on at the same time, and there was sort of a sense in the country of righting a lot of past wrongs.
Right. But I didn't put Nixon's picture in the first book or the second book, but with maturity on my part and appreciation
what
Nixon did.
Well, you just didn't like him?
Well, I didn't like him. And So, but then with, like I say, with maturity and with awareness of what he really did do, I have a wonderful picture of him signing the bill with the elders in the book and a quote from him. I mean, what he did say at that time about why he felt that this was a momentous time and how it would change for other tribes. And so that's going to be in this book, and it wasn't in the other two books.
Very nice.
But and I have a lot of wonderful new things in this last book.
I know. I mean, I remember, you know, I was a kid when Nixon was president, but he looks like a flaming liberal from contemporary perspective.
I know. It's amazing how, you know, when we think about, he really didn't do hardly anything compared to what Cheney and Bush did. I mean, it's...
he signed the... Well, anyway, we won't talk about Nixon too much here. But one of the things that was so interesting for me in reading your book was the way that, you know, you think, oh, you give over the land to the Forest Service, it'll be treated nicely. Well, the Forest Service, as you write, saw the area around Blue Lake as potential timber sales and a place to give grazing permits, and the Taos Indians saw it as a sacred place.
Yes. And so it was really horrifying to them to go there and see that their prayers, sticks and everything were, you know, trampled on, and they had to get a permit to kill a deer to feed their family. I mean, it was a whole different scene, and so it rightly went came back.
We're talking to Marcia Keegan. Her new book is called Taos Pueblo and Its Sacred Blue Lake, and the exhibition tomorrow of this and much more work is at the Silver Sun Gallery on Canyon Road. We'll be talking more about that in a couple of minutes. There's a nice quotation in the book about Richard Nixon and about this whole transaction of returning the land.
Yes. Many of the people from the Pueblo, I asked them to write statements about why they felt the Blue Lake coming back to the Pueblo was important. And one of the things that was that is in the book is from Rick Romasito, who's a Taos tribal member and also a Taos news writer. And he said, it was simply the right thing to do. Richard Nixon, for all his faults, recognized that, so did members of Congress who helped pass the landmark legislation. For that we shall all be eternally grateful. But truth be told, it wasn't their pen to paper that really allowed this to happen. It was the hand of justice that moved their hearts.
Very nice.
Yeah, and there's some
A lot of citizen movements and a lot of writers and journalists in the media who made all of this happen.
Yes. I mean, I was, as a young woman, an activist and have always been for all Native Americans. So I was involved with this movement, and the national churches became involved. And Frank Waters, who wrote the first foreword for the book in 71, he was a close friend of mine even when I was in college. And he did the famous book, Man Who Killed a Deer, which was about how a Taos Indian went to jail because he had not had a permit. And that really helped to make people realize what the problem was.
We're talking to Marcia Keegan. Let's talk for a few minutes about Taos Pueblo. This is a place that's been continuously inhabited for 800 years. That's almost unfathomable to so many of us. I mean, we think we've been here in Santa Fe for 400 years, and that seems like forever. Taos Pueblo is twice as old.
And maybe even older.
And maybe older.
Yes. It's a wonderful traditional pueblo with the 19 pueblos here in New Mexico. And I was just very lucky to meet the elders at this time. The book is black and white, and the original publisher, Simon Schuster, had me do it in black and white. And most of the people in my book from that time have passed away because they were elders. And But I really feel very lucky that I was a part of the community. And this new book is a lot of new people that were children at the time that the original book came out.
I love that you have a kind of a 40-year history with, or more than 40-year history with this pueblo, because the governors and elders and all the people in charge right now were running around your ankles when you were taking these first set of pictures.
Some of them weren't born.
Yeah.
But Tony Reyna, who is a very good friend and has been a governor many times, he's 94, and he was a part of the original. And what's also interesting that I did not know that is in this new book is that Gilbert Suaza, who was, I think, in his late 20s at the time, he got a petition of all the youth and the children from the pueblo, because the Congress said only the old people are interested in this.
Yeah, the opponents to giving back Blue Lake said, oh, well, this is just about the elders. The youth don't care.
Right. And Gilbert made a petition, and he got over 400 youth to sign this petition, and went to Washington with the elders to show that the youth was very much involved. And so a lot of the people that were youth at the time, like Marie Reyna, Tony Reyna's daughter, who's the director of Uhuna Art Center. She was 10 at the time, and she said that she still remembers how angry she was when she heard that they thought that she and her friends weren't interested. So it is really something that sort of is the glue that makes this pueblo so special. And it is really... the water from the Blue Lake comes down in between each side of the pueblo. And this is like pure water, whereas it was endangered when the Forest Service had it.
Yeah, and as you write in the book, I mean, there were... the land was used for grazing, the springs got muddied, the deer were driven away, the food and medicinal plants were depleted, and there was... log cutting and the whole thing. It must have been a mess when the land was finally given back.
Yes, I think it was. And but it's today as sacred as it was previously.
We're talking to Marcia Keegan. So tell us a little bit. I mean, you're one of the, I guess, outsiders who's been closer to the daily life of Taos Pueblo than most of us. What is daily life like there in contrast to... you know, urban life in Santa Fe? What do people do? How do they live?
Well, they're still very traditional, and in the pueblo proper, it still doesn't have electricity or running water, because they want to be closer to the land, and they feel they can be. But they also are a pueblo that is open to tourists at certain times, not after hours. But basically, they have a place where tourists can go during certain hours during the week.
Yeah, I've been there a bunch of times and see this architecture, which is unique in this area.
Very unique. And so Taos and Acoma Pueblos are really the only ones that have a situation where the tourists can go and see the pueblo. So it is open in that respect for people to see, and it is a historic place that has been recognized on the National Register for its unusual architecture.
Now, do people who live in Taos Pueblo make their living there, in other words, grow their food and so on?
Many of them do, but then there's artists, and then also they go in town and have regular jobs. But it's very private and active with their ceremonies. One of the things that is in the book that was the original, I was much younger, and with some Taos friends, I climbed to the top of the water tower and took pictures from above. And the governor recently thought that I had taken it from a plane, And I said, no, I climbed to the top of the water tower and took the picture. But the water tower isn't there anymore. So a lot of people didn't realize how I had taken that picture.
Right.
But so, I have wonderful memories of taking pictures there and eating meals and having, you know, some wonderful times.
Now, this is a book of, as you said, black and white, as we've talked about, black and white photographs. Almost all the rest of your work and the work that we will see at the Silver Sun Gallery on Canyon Road is in color. Why did you do this book in black and white?
Well, originally, Simon & Schuster made me do it in black and white.
Why?
I guess for expense reasons.
Oh, okay.
I don't know, but therefore I have the early pictures in black and white, so I've continued with the black and white book. And I basically am a color photographer, but this book is very sweet, and I like it in black and white, and I'm going to have a limited edition of pictures, a few pictures from the book that will be at the exhibit as well.
So let's talk about some of the work that's going to be in the exhibit. You have various bodies of work, including a lot of work in Tibet, and you've been with the Dalai Lama and done an incredible set of work there at a lot of the books that you publish at Clear Light Publishers are about that, but just as much is Native American work in the Southwest.
Yes, and as with my Pueblo People book, I've photographed all 19 Pueblos, and all the pictures in all my books are friends, so I know their names and I know them personally.
And that makes the photograph so much more personal and friendly and kind of open.
And as you know, you have to get permission, so it's not getting people off guard or sneaking a picture. They're all pictures of friends, and so you can see that they're friends. And so the exhibit will be a room full of all the different Pueblos, basically, as well as Taos.
Marcia, how did you become a photographer in the first place?
Well, I got a degree from the University of New Mexico in journalism. And I worked for the Albuquerque Tribune and then the Albuquerque Journal.
And as a photographer?
No, as a writer.
Oh, okay.
I had never taken a course in photography, but for the Albuquerque Journal, after graduating from UNM, I would go on assignment with a photographer and do the story, and then I would invariably come back, and the pictures weren't what I saw. And so I just thought I should just take pictures myself. And I learned, and I was lucky. It came naturally to me. And so my stories were smaller and smaller, and my pictures were larger and larger. And then I went to New York and studied photography. And that's where I really became involved as a strong photographer. But I came back constantly to New Mexico. I was born in Oklahoma and raised in Oklahoma and was used to powwows. So when I first came and saw a sacred dance, actually my first dance was the Shalako at Zuni Pueblo. And when I saw the sacred dances and saw how special and spiritual the ceremonies were at the Pueblos, I really became involved, and that's when I wanted to share my knowledge and my photographs with others.
Now, I would imagine there's this whole process of getting permission to take photographs and gaining trust of the people that you're photographing that you had to go through.
Yes, and I'm told I'm the only person in history that's photographed all 19 Pueblos. And I think that I've been very honored, but I think they think of me as their family photographer. So Robert Tenorio just had some, his niece just had two little twins, and they brought them up for me to photograph. And they're just darling. And so now I'm told that when they're trying to get them to smile, they say, Marcia's going to be taking your picture.
That's amazing. So, you really are family photographer. Yeah. When family occasions happen, do you photograph their weddings
of
and
course.
Things like that?
Yeah. Oh, yes, of course. And I also, they know and trust me. They know that I will not photograph anything that is not something they want to be photographed.
Right.
So I think that those boundaries are very clear, and I have kept with those boundaries. And that's another reason why I think I have been able to take pictures of dances and things. But also, recently there's been more of people not being allowed to photograph dances, and I was doing that for many, many years.
So you were lucky enough to do it, and we're lucky enough to have those books at our disposal. Just quickly, do you see a link between the work you've done in the Southwest and the work that you've done in Tibet?
Very much so, and I've been working for a number of years about the similarities, and hopefully that book will be coming out, because it's been on the drawing board for many years.
What do you see as some of the similarities?
Oh, everything. That not only the landscape, the portraits, the symbols, sand paintings and mandalas, deer dances. That's a whole nother...
Yeah, well, that's another interview. But I was thinking of it because at the beginning of the book that we've been talking about, the new book, well, which is the 40th edition version of Taos Pueblo and its Sacred Blue Lake, there was a statement at the beginning that the philosophical grounding of the Taos way of life and the way of looking at the world is that the relationships among people, between people and the environment, and between people and their higher spirit is all pretty much the same thing. And that has real echoes in, I've been talking about this lately, but I was in Bali last year, and that is exactly the same as what I saw in Balinese Hinduism.
Yes. Well, with Tibetan Buddhism as well as the traditional Indian way, is everything is sacred. So the Sacred Blue Lake is a wonderful lake, but also all things are sacred within the Pueblo thinking.
We're talking to Marcia Keegan. So this exhibit of photographs is a wonderful thing for you, because you've been exhibited all over the world. The last one exhibit that you had was in Singapore, but you haven't been exhibited here very much lately. And so now this is a terrific occasion, and there will be Cibachrome prints, which we don't see much of anymore. Lots of nice color work.
Yes, you can't make dye transfers, and Cibachromes have gone by the wayside. You can't make them anymore. And so this is really one of a kind opportunity. These are Cibachrome prints, all of them in color, and then my black and white of Taos. But I'm really excited. Silver Sun is a wonderful gallery, and it's on Canyon Road, right across from Compound.
And it's at 656 Canyon Road.
Yes. And they're going to have music and food.
Music and food are good. And that will be tomorrow, August 20th, from 5 to 8, the Silver Sun Gallery on Canyon Road. And the exhibit goes on through the end of September. Once again, Marcia Keegan, award-winning photographer, also publisher of Clear Light Books. And we look forward to seeing you tomorrow night.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org. We're podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us and friend us at facebook.com/radiocafe. And my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's wonderful award-winning news team, and after that, jazz. Broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company, we will see you tomorrow. Have a wonderful day. Adios.